What's up, everybody? This is the Locked On Yankees podcast, your daily podcast covering the New York Yankees. We are brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. If you are new, hello and welcome. I hope you enjoy the show. I'm your host, Stacey Gatsoulias. I'm an author of Baseball Prospectus, and you can follow me on Twitter at the Locked On Yankees account or at my personal account, Stace Gotts. You can listen and subscribe to Locked On Yankees on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can also listen to the show on our website, Locked On Yankees. And finally, you can play Locked On Yankees on your smart speakers by saying play podcast Locked On Yankees. As always, you can email questions or comments to lockedonnyy at gmail.com. In today's episode of Locked On Yankees, we'll discuss the past two games against Tampa. We'll look at Luis Severino's performance last night, Gary Sanchez's performance last night. We'll also review the bullpen game that happened on Monday, and we'll go around the league like we always do. First, I'd like to apologize for my absence yesterday. This weather is wreaking havoc on my allergies, and I had a massive headache for most of the day. So, we have two wins to discuss. On Monday night, the Yankees used an opener and a total of eight pitchers to beat Tampa at its own game. Aaron Boone elected to go with Jonathan Holder to start, and it worked. Now, Sonny Gray was the only pitcher to give up a run. Shocker. But he wasn't that bad. He was just annoying, as usual. And the run scored on a ground ball double play in the bottom of the fourth. But here's a fun fact about Sonny Gray. He's 2-0 with a 2.93 ERA in six appearances out of the bullpen. And he's 9-9 with a 5.26 ERA in 23 starts. What a year for him. So after Holder, Boone went to lefty Stephen Tarpley, who pitched a scoreless inning with one strikeout. Then Gray pitched his two innings, and Chad Green, D-Rob, Aroldis Chapman, Betances, and Zach Britton all pitched a scoreless inning apiece. Now, the Yankee pitchers held Tampa to only two hits overall. Both the hits came off Gray. One was a double, one was a single. As for the Yankees' offense, Andrew McCutchen hit a solo shot in the third. In the fifth, Brett Gardner hit an RBI single, and Stanton hit an RBI double. And in the seventh, McCutchen and Judge hit back-to-back doubles. So my ranting about Sonny Gray on Monday was all for nothing. He was fine. I mean, of course, it's annoying that he was the only one who gave up the only two hits and the only run of the game, but he didn't implode entirely, so that's good, I guess. Last night's game was completely different. Luis Severino started, and he won his 19th game. Was it a great start? Not really. He only lasted five innings and gave up two runs. But his offense provided him with a ton of run support thanks to a seven-run third inning. So overall, Severino threw 97 pitches. 53 four-seamers, 26 sliders, and 18 change-ups, according to Baseball Savant. All the following numbers are from Baseball Savant. He averaged 97.2 on the four-seamer, 88.2 on the slider, and 88.8 on the change-up. He got 11 swinging strikes on the fastball, 5 on the slider, 1 on the change-up. He got 5 called on the four-seamer, 4 on the slider, and 1 on the change-up. He gave up 4 doubles, 2 to Brandon Lowe, and both of them were off of his four-seamer. He gave up a ground rule double to Tommy Pham, which came off his four-seamer. And just as an aside, I'd like to mention that after Pham hit the double, the Rays DJ played We Are Family by this Sister Sledge, which I thought was pretty funny. And I wondered if they do that all the time whenever he gets a hit. If they do, that's pretty cool. And finally, the fourth double that Severino gave up, although I didn't list them in order. I think this may have been the first double he gave up. He gave up a double to Joey Wendell off of his slider, which didn't really slide and was like right in the strike zone. So Wendell was able to hit it. Now, some people were wondering if this start means that Seve's back in the conversation for the wildcard starter, but I'm still not convinced. And before I end the segment, I have to bring up the McCutchen incident from last night, where he was running back to catch a fly ball and fell onto the warning track at Tropicana Field. And you know, he was able to get up pretty quickly, throw the ball into the infield. But for the third out of the inning, the ball came right to him and he caught it. And he did this little bouncing, hopping, bouncing thing, as in, hey, I caught the ball and didn't fall. And I didn't mean to rhyme that, but that was pretty good. And as he was going back to the dugout, Tyler Wade and, oh God, who was the other person? They were making fun of him by bouncing like he did. So I thought that was really funny. And I hope that dance becomes a thing in the Yankees dugout. And after the game, McCutchen recorded himself on Instagram in his Insta stories discussing the incident. And it's hilarious. If you don't follow him on Instagram, you need to correct that error. Error? Who am I, Ted Kennedy? Error. Because McCutchen is hilarious. He really is. And he's a really good storyteller. And he likes to act things out as well. So he's just follow him on Instagram. And if you don't have Instagram, open up an Instagram account just to follow him on Instagram. That's how good he is. And he was always this good. I used to watch some of his stuff before he even became a Yankee, but his story about last night's incident is just, it's amazing. I'm so happy he's become a Yankee. He's really, I like him a lot. So up next, we'll recap last night's 7-run third inning. We'll talk about Gary Sanchez. We'll preview tonight's game. And I might have a story or two to tell. But first, the Yankees went ham last night during the third inning. It all started with an Adani Echevarria home run and ended with an Adani Echevarria groundout. So let's talk about Echevarria's home run from call from John Sterling. Because it was Echevarria, mamma mia. Yeah. Anyway, the home run broke a scoreless tie, and it was his sixth of the season. So anyway, in between Echevarria's two plate appearances, and I'm not pronouncing the H because that's what it says on Baseball Reference. So I don't know if everyone else is pronouncing his name wrong or if Baseball Prospectus. Sorry, shout out to my workplace. Baseball Reference is wrong, but who knows? I'm going to go by their pronunciation. So in between his two plate appearances, Brett Gardner tripled, Andrew McCutchen walked and dropped his bat with so much swagger, it was hard not to giggle at him. As soon as he did it, it went up in GIFs on Twitter, and it's just so, he just flips the back behind him and drops it. It's amazing. Anyway, Aaron Judge nearly decapitated Jake Feria with a line drive, but Feria got his glove up in time for the first out. He was replaced by Andrew Kittredge, who gave up a double to Luke Voit. By the way, nice job by the contingent of Yankee fans in the slop on the Luke chant. Nice job. So Gardner scored on that. Then Kittredge intentionally walked Giancarlo Stanton to load the bases. Jalen Beeks came in to replace Kittredge and walked Neil Walker to force in a run. Miguel Andujar hit a sack fly to score Voit. And then finally, Gary Sanchez hit a 3-run home run to really bust things open. And speaking of Sanchez, he had a nice night at the plate, went 2-for-4 with the home run and the walk. Anytime he gets on base is a good thing, but his problem this year is that he can't seem to string together a number of good games in a row. It also seems like he doesn't make adjustments at the plate, and he's just swinging through a lot of crappy pitches. So maybe it's just one of those down years for him. I guess we'll find out next year. So tonight, Masahiro Tanaka will look to rebound after his not-so-great start against the Red Sox last week that I predicted. Thank you. He will be facing Ryan Stanek, who I guess is probably not going to pitch more than two innings. The Yankees would like for Tanaka to go back to the Tanaka he was before the Red Sox start, when he barely gave up runs, didn't give up any homers for nearly 30 innings. That would be great. So it's story time. And I have to warn you guys, I have a ton of them in my arsenal. So get ready during these podcasts, because once October hits, I'm just going to keep telling stories about playoff games that I've attended. For today, I will tell the story of being at the pennant clinching game in 09. In all of my years of going to playoff games, I've never seen the Yankees win the World Series, thanks to my mother, back in 1996. My dad had an extra ticket for me, and I was up in school in Oswego, and my mom thought it was ridiculous for me to fly down for one day and then fly back up for classes, so they never told me that they had a ticket for me for Game 6 against the Braves. So I'm all happy and drunk, because I was 22 at the time, and celebrating the Yankees winning the World Series. I call home drunk. I don't know why the hell it called my house, because I knew my brother and my father at the game, because they went to every, I think they were at every home game that year, which is another thing I'm really jealous of. But anyway, my mom makes the mistake of telling me that my dad had a ticket and how she thought it was ridiculous for me to come down. And I think I told her I hated her and I hung up on her, but I don't hate my mother. I was just really pissed and drunk. But that night happened to be the night that they turned the clocks back, and the drinking last call was always just before 2, and every place closed at 2. But because the clocks went back an hour, every place stayed open an extra hour, and it was such a fun night. Anyway, back to 2009. I think this was an original game that I bought because of my plan. Like, I was able to go online and buy. I ended up having tickets to Game 6 of the ALCS. I had StubHubbed tickets to Game 2 of the ALCS so I could sit close to my friend who was up from Washington, D.C. So for Game 6, I was sitting in section 405. So that's right field, the last section of the stadium. And we were the last row before the auxiliary press box, which was great because you can't see much below you from 405, and you definitely can't see like the bullpen or anything unless you get up and lean over the railing, which I don't like to do because I'm afraid of heights. So anyway, what was great about sitting in front of the auxiliary press box is that we heard all of the pitching stuff and, you know, like who was going to be warming up in the bullpen before it was even announced on the scoreboard. So that was cool. And the Yankees beat the Angels. Andy Pettit pitched and won. I've seen Andy Pettit pitch in the playoffs more than any other pitcher. In 2003, I went to every game 2. So the DS, the ALCS, and the World Series, and he won all 3 games. So I was so excited to actually see them clinch a pennant that I almost started crying because I was so happy to be there. Because I had seen them clinch a division series in 01 against Oakland. I went to game 5 with my dad. I almost didn't. I was kind of scared because I was like, oh God, this is like a do or die game. And if they lose, I don't want to cry in front of everyone in the stadium. But then I don't want to be at home if they win because it'll be like, oh, I could have been there. So I ended up going, and that was a fun night. But I'll tell that story on that anniversary. That was October 15th. So that'll be coming up in a few weeks. So anyway, yeah, in 09, I got to see them win their 40th pennant, which was really a lot of fun. And I got to share that experience with my brother. So that was cool. And it's weird because this year I've been to one game anywhere. I didn't go to any games at our independent team's ballpark, which last year I was there like 7 or 8 times. Usually I'll see at least one Met game a season. I didn't get to do that. So it's very strange that I've only seen the Yankees play once. I'm probably not going to see them play in the playoffs because I definitely don't want to go to a wild card game because I'd have to take like a Klonopin in order to stay calm. Oh God. But anyway, that's that story. But like I said, I have a ton of stories about going to playoff games and any other games throughout the regular season because I've been to hundreds of them. So again, I've warned you, these stories will be coming. So up next, we'll take a look around the league. But first, so before we go around the league, let's discuss the Phillies free fall, which I spelled with a PH, but you can't see that, so I'm telling you that. The Phillies lost to the Rockies last night, 10-3. So they're now a game below 500 at 78-79. They have the second best record in the National League on August 5th. And since that day, they've gone 15-31. That is an incredible fall off a cliff. I mean, that is like, wow. I saw that stat. Actually, I saw the stat yesterday, or no, after Monday night's loss. So I had to fix the numbers for last night's loss. They actually lost to the Rockies on Monday, 10-1. So yeah, they're not doing very good in that series against the Rockies. So speaking of the Rockies, I've been talking about how I want chaos in the National League. Well, Anthony Castrovince of MLB.com wrote about how crazy it could possibly get. So I'm not going to, you know, recite the whole article because it's really, really intense and involved. But he goes through all the possibilities of what would happen if the Cubs and Brewers finished tied for first in the NL Central. And if the Dodgers and Rockies tie for first in the NL West, while also tying the Cardinals for the second wild card. So he goes through all the scenarios, and it means that there could be 3 tiebreaker games in 2 days. Could you imagine? And like I said, he explains all the scenarios in detail, so go to his article and read it. But I really want this to happen. Like, I'm glad it's the NL and it's not the AL and it doesn't involve the Yankees. So yes, let chaos reign. Just bring it, give it to me because I want it badly. Right now, the Rockies, because of their win over the Phillies, are tied for the second wild card slot. And they're only a half game behind the Dodgers in the NL race. So go team chaos. Atlanta won their 6th game in a row. They beat the Mets 10-6. Max Scherzer reached the 300 strikeout plateau in a 9-4 win over the Marlins. He struck out 10 batters in 7 innings. He's incredible. And I kind of feel bad that he's being wasted on the Nationals. It's kind of like how I feel about Mike Trout being wasted on the Angels. But it's really something to watch him work and hear him grunt when he pitches. It's kind of funny. So the Mariners walked off on the A's last night, which clinched the AL West for the Astros. So that also means that the Yankees' magic number for home field advantage in the wild card game is down to 2. The Astros won their 100th game, which makes them the second team to reach that mark because the Red Sox are up there with, are they at 106 wins? I think they're at 106. The Yankees and A's right now are at 96 and 95 wins, respectively. Cleveland lost, so they are sitting at 88 and 69, Nice. John Gibbons won't be back as Toronto's manager in 2019. I'm pretty sure this was already brought up a couple of weeks ago as a possibility, but now it's official. As I'm recording this, the Blue Jays were holding a press conference about it. Gibbons managed the Blue Jays for two stints from 2004 to 2008 and then 2013 to this season. He led them to their first postseason berth in 22 years in 2015 when Toronto lost to the Royals in the American League Championship Series in six games. So that's it for today's episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I've been your host, Stacey Gotsoulias. You can follow me on Twitter at StaceGots. And once again, you can email questions or comments to lockedonnyy@gmail.com, or you can tweet me at the Locked On Yankees account. You can also rate this podcast on Apple and on Google. You can subscribe at Apple, Google, Spotify, and Stitcher. And if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans or to your fellow baseball fans. I know I have listeners who don't like the Yankees and are still listening, so thank you for that. I appreciate it. And on that note, I will wish you a nice day. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, everyone.